Companies don't start out looking for you. They have a specific need and they're trying to meet the need. Truett Cathy of Chick-fil-A says, we don't hire people because they need a job. We hire them because we need them. The companies aren't running a ministry. They're going, oh, come over here and work so you'll be fulfilled. That isn't why people hire people. They say, oh gosh, we're short on this. If we don't get this done, we're going to have a problem. So we need to hire somebody to get this done. And then you come along going,
well, I wonder how I fit into getting that done.
And you've got to really look and do you fit into getting that done? And the company's bringing you on board. You got to think about that when you're looking for a job, when you're choosing career direction. I mean, this book right here is fabulous on that, on this idea of picking out the right thing to do with your life. This book is Good to Great by Jim Collins. It's one of the best-selling books in the last decade in business. One of the chapters in this book where they studied good companies that went from good to great, they said the companies that go from good to great have an ability to get the right people on the bus, get the wrong people off the bus, but most importantly of all, get the right people on the right seat on the right bus. And if you get people functioning in their strengths, you take your company from good to great. If you function in your strength, you get to be a part of taking your company from good to great. And your income will reflect that long term. Develop a strategy once you decide you're looking for something. Identify the target. Don't just go, I need a job. Now let's say I want a career. I want to go in a certain direction. Target the type of thing you're looking for. Look at stuff like the newspaper, online job postings then, employment agencies, networking. Pursue a company that you already know and love. Maybe they don't have a job listed. Most of the best jobs don't ever get listed. You know that, don't you? It's a friend of a friend. It's networking and those kinds of things. Only 15% of the jobs come out of the newspaper. You know, so I mean, I hardly would waste my time with that. I'd look just for the fun of it. But you know, you need to be thinking about other ways to open a door and go, you've got a job that needs to be done, and I'm the guy, I'm the gal to do it. And let me show you how and why. And they go, well, I didn't even know we needed that done, but that's a good idea. You might make us more than you cost us. Come on. And that's how people get hired into great positions of doing something they love. So learn everything you can about this company. Research them. Study them. Read their website. Learn about their... Talk to the people that work there. Take somebody that works there to lunch. Spy on them. They love it. Okay? They love it. It's how you get their attention. You go, this matters. And you plug yourself into something there and people get fired up. You'd be amazed how you get hired that way. When it comes to contacting the company, think of it like starting a new relationship with a person. If you were going to start a relationship with a person, have you ever walked up to someone at a party or maybe a wedding reception, something like that, where everybody's just standing around talking a bunch of strangers, and they walk up, and especially guys will say something like, what do you do? And somebody will start telling you what they do. And you really were just trying to create a conversation. You really did not want to hear all that they have ever done. They'll give you their resume. People will talk on end about themselves, and you really didn't want to know all that. You know what I'm talking about in a conversation where it's all one-sided? That's not a relationship, is it? That's what sending out a resume to somebody who didn't ask for your resume is. It's all about me. Look at me. I'm great. Don't put me in the pile with all those others. Look at me. That's not a relationship. And you won't get hired that way very often. Very few of us have ever gotten high-quality jobs straight off of resumes. It isn't working that way. So instead, after you target the company where you'd most like to work, you're going to contact them at least 3 times. Send out an introduction letter. Dan Miller talks about this in 48 Days to the Work You Love. Then send a cover letter with a resume. But an introduction letter could just say something like, hey, think you guys are awesome. I want to, over the next little while, I want to develop a dialogue with you. I want to develop a relationship with you. One step is you're going to be seeing another letter coming soon with a resume. You can toss the resume if you want, but don't toss the letter because I'm going to be following up. And then I'm going to be following up on a certain date. Expect my phone call on Friday, the 20th. I'll be calling on that day. And then when you call, they go, wow, this guy said he was going to call, and he called. This is a weird guy. Because most people are like, I can't call. They'll think I'm too forward or I'm too scared. I'm backward. I don't want to. Just set up a game plan and a process here and follow this thing right down the natural event as if you were trying to get a date. You're building a relationship. Keep in mind, 98% of these companies are small businesses. They operate on relationships. They don't operate on policies and procedures. That's not who's hiring. Policies and procedures of the government. Nobody follows that in the real world except those unusual jobs like that. Interviews and jobs come from persistent follow-up and networking. That's where they come from. Unsolicited resumes have a 10% success rate, and classified ads have a 15% success rate. That's what studies tell us. It's interesting. We have a guy on our team right now that is absolutely fabulous team member. And he had crashed a business situation and really was kind of down on his luck a little bit. And he was working at one of the big box construction stores, like a Lowe's, a Home Depot type of a thing, right? And just to get some money. He was just to eat money, you know, while he looked for something to do and get back up on his feet and kind of get his, you know, kind of shake that thing off from getting knocked down. You know how it is. Do you know how it is? Say yes.
Yes.
And he sent in the resume, and in our place, we get lots of resumes. I told you we got several hundred folks on our team, and so it got in the pile with the resumes, and, you know, and it was, you know, we never really got around to it. And he wrote me this cool email telling me this story, and he's a storyteller. And he told me the story about two Dave Ramsey listeners and readers who came into the store. Both of them walked up to him at the same time talking about this piece of equipment laying in this construction area of the store, and they it had opened, the box was open, and they both are trying to get a bargain on different parts of it, and they looked at each other and kind of high-fived and both went, Dave Ramsey. And he told the story better than I did. And I laughed when I read it. It was kind of cute. And he said, I couldn't resist because I'm a Dave Ramsey listener too. And I gave them both a deal. I went and got the manager and we gave them a deal. Because it was just cute. They both got what they wanted and the store got rid of the item, whatever it was, and this kind of thing. But the way he told the story, it was obvious he was a writer. It's obvious he's a storyteller. And in all the stuff we do around our organization, we tell stories because it's about people's lives. So we have to have those kinds of people on our team. And I got that email out and I was reading it one morning in our staff meeting. And I read that. I said, this is a cute story I got on email. I was just sharing it with our whole team one morning. And I finished it. And I said, you know what? We need to hire that guy. And you know, we hired him by the end of the week. But his resume was already down in the stack. And we didn't even know it was there. It wasn't because we were trying to diss him. And he's on our team right now. Why? Because he used a different approach that showed his talents, connected with us in the way we think and have a philosophy inside of our organization. And boom, he got the job he wanted. Now, you need to present yourself well. You got to do the basic stuff, right? You know, you got to go in there and know you're the product. I got to have the best product. I got to look sharp. I'm going for a job interview, right? And I'm amazed the people that come into our organization that really don't have a clue they're there trying to impress someone. Dude, I wouldn't even let you come to my house as a guest wearing that. And you want to come to work here wearing that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, some of these people, I mean, bless their hearts. I mean, there's some things you can do dressed that way with hair that looks like that. And there's some things you can, you know, there are, it's okay to be in a punk rock band if it looks like you fell into a tackle box, you know? But, right? And don't send me a bunch of hate mail. I'm not mad at you for piercings. That's not the point. But I mean, I'm not thinking bank teller. I mean, bank teller doesn't come to mind, does it? Does bank teller pop into your head? So your appearance affects your ability to get a job, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not thinking estate planner. Are you thinking estate planner right now? I go into an attorney's office to hire someone to defend me against a corporate lawsuit. This is not coming to mind, is it? If this guy's personal assistant looks like this, this isn't coming to mind, is it? So there are some things that are inappropriate for the job. And, you know, and if you're going to be around anything that's like, I don't know, maybe if you were near a magnet, it would be bad. I don't know. I mean, that's really cool if you're on Venice Beach, right? But it's not going to work inside of a bank. You know, so you got to think about your appearance. It does affect things. Well, it shouldn't. Well, I know, but it does. And that's a reality. So you are, when you're on a job interview, you've got to think about this stuff. Be on time. Address everyone by name. Offer a firm handshake. Maintain eye contact. Most people say you get hired or fired in the first 30 seconds of an interview. And that's before you ever sat down. Simply in how you introduced yourself, how you walked up. Were you arrogant? Did you hold the stare too long to where someone was uncomfortable? Did you dress in such a way that it was totally weird and inappropriate? Not necessarily fashionable, not necessarily unfashionable. Some of you ladies weren't thinking about how you dressed yourselves, particularly, and a guy comes out there and he's uncomfortable. You know, these are things you really, really have to keep in mind. You've got about 30 seconds, and they're going to make a call on you right then. And that's going to make or break whether or not you move forward with that organization most of the time. You know, Zig Ziglar tells a story that he was out to eat one time, and a young guy came up to waiting on him at his table. And Zig's a kind and nice man, and he's a very interesting guy, though. And this young man had, you know, had the multiple piercings again, looked like he fell into a tackle box or something. And he's, you know, and Zig said, "How do you like all that stuff on your face?" And he said, "I really like it. I enjoy it. It's kind of a different thing." And he said, "You know, I think it's pretty interesting, too." He said, "I got to tell you, I would fight and die for your freedom to be able to do that. But I wouldn't hire you for a job." Designate a time to follow up and then do it. If you leave the interview saying, "I'll just check back with you later," and you call 62 times, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Or you're just going, "Oh, should I call? Have I called too much?" It's like calling that girl in high school. You know, "I don't want to call too much. I don't want to seem like too pushy, but I really want to let her know I'm interested. And how do, what's the balance?" And you got all this stuff going through. Don't, you can alleviate every bit of that. Every bit of that. When you're leaving the interview, just set a time. "Would it be okay if I follow up with you on next Thursday?" "Yes." "Would morning or afternoon be better?" "Morning." "Great. I'll call you about 10 o'clock. Is that okay?" "We have a phone appointment at 10 o'clock. I'm going to follow up." Then if you don't follow up, you're a putz, right? And if you do follow up, you're professional, on time, and you have no reason to not follow up and no reason to be scared when you dial the phone because they're expecting your call. Set an appointment for the follow-up and take yourself right straight through. Basic sales technique is all that is. It helps you avoid call reluctance, we would say in sales. And then, by the way, when you go in to meet with a company, send them a thank you note. As soon as you hit the front door, go to a restaurant, sit down on stationery, do a handwritten thank you note, drop it in the mail right back to them so it's there the next morning. Send a thank you note. Don't send a bouquet of flowers. They'll think you're flirting. Send a simple thank you note. Don't overdo it. People freak out and go, "This one's a little weird." You know? But a simple thank you note's going, "This one's got a little class that the average character doesn't have." Use those kinds of things. That'll get you into places. It really, really will.